Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding in the middle of a very, very chashuv sugya over here, lo pashut bechlal, and this is the sugya of Kira. So that issue revolves around a number of things that we raised yesterday. Most fundamentally, we have a machlokas between Hananya and the Chachomim, and we cannot make up our minds how to understand our Mishnah. According to Hananya, Shihia, and you remember that Shihia means leaving something on the fire from before. Doesn't mean putting it on Shabbos, putting it back on Shabbos, but leaving it on the fire, having cooked it, and it's now continuing to cook on Shabbos. So now the question is, according to Hananya, you're allowed to leave something even if you don't turn off the fire. And if you're talking about the type of fire that they had then, of course, the equivalent to turning off the fire would be what we call grifa, which means to take a shovel, take out all the coals, or ketima, which means to bank it, utilizing some type of ashes or sand or something. You put that over the coals, and that strangles the fire. So according to Hananya, there's never a problem. You can leave anything on top of a stove, and even if the fire's on, as long as you had it there from before Shabbos, just leave it there. The question is, can you put it back on? So as far as Chazorah is concerned, and that's the other technical term, to put it back on, and putting it back on, we were back yesterday, means putting it back on even before Shabbos, within the amount of time that it wouldn't have been possible to have prepared the thing in the first place. So to put it back on, there you do need grifa v'ketima, even aliba Hananya. According to the Chachomim, even Shehiya requires grifa v'ketima. Now, when we came to our Mishnah, and we had the simple statement of the Mishnah that you need grifa v'ketima, there are two ways of understanding this. Ein notnim is in terms of ein notnim for chazora, and then it would work out perfectly well according to Hananya, because it's true. Even Hananya says ein notnim, you can't put it back on the stove unless you turned off the fire. So fine, that's exactly what it says. Perfectly okay, according to Hananya. Well, the other way of learning it is, ein notnim means even before Shabbos, to leave it on the stove. You can't do that because that would be shehiya, and ein notnim would be chazor, would be Hananya. Or ein notnim would mean even to aser shehiya, and that would be true, according to the Chachomim, who argue on Hananya. We ran into a little bit of difficulty with the continuation of the Mishnah, because if we were learning that the Mishnah is talking about the din of Chazara, so then to get back to the second part of the Mishnah, where we said that according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel's Machlokas, what we meant, did we mean you can leave on only hot water? As for the Shehiya, the way that Beit Shammai understands it, or do we mean that you can leave even cholent, the way that Beit Hillel refers to it. If we're talking about Chazorah, then so far everything is good. But then we get to the next piece in which it says that according to Beit Shammai, you can't be Machzir, but you can't, what would that be referring to? You can't be Machzir what? If we were talking about, according to the way we were understanding the Mishnah, that in Machzir, unless it was Gorifakatum, we had already said that according to Beit Shammai, you could, if it was hot water, you couldn't show it. But when he's talking about over here, you can't be Machzir, he would simply be repeating himself if he was referring again to cholent. And if he was referring to hot water, he'd be contradicting himself. So how would we understand this second statement of Beit Shammai? That was our question. The only way that we resolved it was by splitting up the two maimorim of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which are the two parts of the Sefer of the Mishnah, besides the introductory piece about requiring grifa v'ketima, and we would be having the two parts referring to different things. So the first part was indeed referring to the original question of Chazorah. And there Beit Shammai says, well, you're only allowed to put the water back on. And then the question of the issue of whether Chazorah was mutter at all, sorry about Shia, but the question of whether Chazorah was mutter at all, we now went back and we said, and by the way, when we were talking about being Machzir, that's not really true according to Beit Shammai at all. Because according to him, you wouldn't be allowed to be Machzir. Okay. We had no way of being certain which way the Mishnah was reading. The reason, as I mentioned to you yesterday, the reason that we want so much to make the Mishnah work out according to Hananya, even though it was really kvetchy to split up the last two pieces, was because we had had a Mishnah earlier in the Masechet, way back at Daf Yutes, where we talked about putting pot into the Tanur before Shabbos if there's enough time for Yikra Mupaneh. Now, Yikra Mupaneh would mean that it's cooked just in time for Shabbos. And by the way, Krimat Paneh is the equivalent, not of fully baked, right? It's the equivalent in cooking of Ma'achal Ben Drusoy. And remember, there's another thing that Hananya said. Hananya said that when we talk about something that was cooked, it doesn't have to be fully cooked. It could be one-third of the way cooked, like Ma'achal Ben Drusoy. Well, if the Mishnah was matir earlier, putting bread into a tanur, if it's only going to be Mikramu Paneh before Shabbos, and then leaving it, I mean, obviously that's like Hananya. So it's important for us to try to figure out how this Mishnah would be consistent with the Mishnah earlier, because it's very strange that we would take for granted Hananiah's approach back in the first parak and then suddenly change things that it only works out according to Chachomim. We'll argue with Hananiah when we get to the main sugi in the third parak. So it was kedai for us to try to work out the Mishnah like Hananiah. However, we don't have any absolute proof that this is the way to read the Mishnah. So today, we got up to Tashma, about a quarter of the way down, and we want to see if we can bring any kind of raya as to which way to read the Mishnah. There's a Tashma. The Amr Rav Chaba Bar Gurya Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela El Gaba. If you're talking about this halacha, whatever this halacha is, which we're going to think about in a moment, it's only talking about putting food on top of the kira. But nobody was ever allowing you to put food inside the kira. Now, explain to me how this fits with our Mishnah, okay? If the opening words of the Mishnah are talking about lahachzir, and it's telling you, if you are going to put things back, then you have to make sure that it's goruf fakata. And then comes along Rabbi Chalbo to say that there's a difference between putting things back, if you're going to put it inside of the very hot kira, there would be a difference between putting things inside or leaving them on top, fine. But if you're going to tell me they're talking about even lishot, and that you're not allowed to even leave things unless it was goruf v'katum, which would mean it was against Hananya. So basically, who cares whether you put it on top of the kira or whether you put it inside of the kira? Because now, the way Rashi learns is like this. If we're talking about the din of putting it back in, then to put it inside of the kira, which is mosif hevel, is the equivalent of a hatmana, and you're not allowed to be matmin if something is going to be that kind. It's hot, because over there, since Rav Chalbo is talking about what the Mishnah is mashma, it's not talking about what the Mishnah says. In other words, the Mishnah is saying that if you want to do chazora, then this is what you got to do. Okay, but what does that imply? That implies that if you just want to leave it there, this is not what you have to do, meaning you do not have to put your fire out if you're just leaving it there. Well, so then if you don't have to leave to put out the fire, so then of course you can't put a pot inside of your kira, because then you're putting the pot directly onto living coals. And there, for sure, and this is what Rashi says, there, for sure, it would be usher, because that would be doing hatmana, and that you're not allowed to do even before Shabbos if it's mosif hevel, and hot coals that haven't been put out are mosif hevel. Tosfos Tainis, you do not need to come on to the issue of hatmana here at all. Clearly, there would be a difference, Aliba, even Hananya, if you're going to be in contact with the coals directly. He was only matir putting it on top of the stove. But it makes sense that if the Mishnah is insinuating, doesn't say anything about it, but it's insinuating that only for chazorah I need to put out the fire, but for shehiyah I don't, comes along Reb Chalbo to say, note the insinuation of the Mishnah that you could allow it there. Don't think that that means you could actually allow it inside. Oh, no, no, no. That would be terrible. So then that would make sense to understand it that way. But if you're going to tell me that what we're talking about in the Mishnah is that you have to put the fire out, and that would be true even if you want to be shohet, not like Hananya, and it was not talking about chazorah. So now Reb Chalbo is saying if you put out the fire, and then he's coming to say you can only leave it on top, but you can't be putting it inside. So then, what's the difference? basically, there's no fire. You've got heat on top. You've got heat inside. Who cares? Why would Reb Chabo have made that distinction? Says the Gemara, now wait a second. All of this is based on an assumption, and that is that Reb Chabo was referring to the first part of the Mishnah, right? Then you'd be 100% right. But the truth is Reb Chabo was talking about Beis Hillel. He's going on Chazara, but not the Chazara that you putatively claim you hold that the Mishnah says Chazara in the beginning. No. He's going on Beit Hillel. It says Beit Hillel Amrim Af Machzirim. So Reb Chabo comes along to say, look, when we're matir Chazara, Rav said that that's Dafka if you're going to be Machzirit on top. But if you're going to put it inside, that is considered to be usur. Now, this raises a new question, which Rashi actually introduced yesterday, which I would like you to add to your list of munachim, and that is michse kemevashel. Michse kemevashel is when you do an act which to an onlooker would appear to be a normal way in which you would cook something. So when you put something inside of a hot oven, that looks very much like you intend to cook. Because of that, we answered for another reason of michsik and bavasho, even though in terms of the chazorah that Beit Hillel is talking about, where over there, you do need for it to be in a matzav that it would be mutter even for chazorah, so it's goro for katum. That would be if you put it back on top, in which case we do not have a raya over here for or against the way that the Mishnah was assumed to be read in its introduction. Yes, like Hananya, and we're only talking about Chazara, but Lishhot is Mutter, or not like Hananya, and we're talking about even Lishhot is Aser, unless it's Goruf Vikatum. I hope you had a chance to review all of these Munachim, because we're throwing them, batting them about like it's a ping-pong game here. Okay, so now we do, however, maybe have a raya that actually the Mishnah is not like Hananya, because Toshma. We had the case, we talked about this in Kalim as well, we have Shtei Kirot Hamat Imot. Shtei Kirot Hamat Imot is where you basically have a stovetop with four places for pots. And the way that this is made is that you basically put together a Kira and an Kira and a common wall between the two Kiras. So now you end up with two Kiras back to back. Now, the halacha over there is that if one half of it was goruf hakatum and the other half was not goruf hakatum, you would be allowed to do shehiyah, on top of the goruf hakatum. Hold on a second. If you can only do shehiyah if it's goruf hakatum, it's not like Hananya, right? Okay. The ein mashin al she'ina goruf of ein ketum. You definitely cannot do a shehiyah on the one that is not goruf Vakoto. So this is clearly against Hananya. Now, what's important to us is the way that there is a machlokas tanoim about what the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was. And it's on that basis that we're going to try to stick the different approaches of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda here in the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel into our Mishnah in a way that is consistent at least with either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, because we certainly don't want to suggest that our Mishnah represents something entirely different. So here's where we get into trouble. The opening was definitely said not like Hananya. Okay, but maybe this Braisa is not really an equivalent to our Mishnah. But let's continue, and we'll see that things get much more complicated than that. Because Mahin Mashin, if you did do Grufa and Ketima, what would you be allowed to leave on top of that Kira? Beit Shammai Omrim, nothing. Nothing. So this is like completely off the wall as far as our Mishnah is concerned, because in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai was certainly Matir Chami. Okay, here it says nothing. So you can't leave anything, and it's not clear whether he means you can't leave anything, even hot water, Dafka in this case, because remember, this is not a standard case. This is a case of Shtei Kirot HaMatimot. And since they're Matimot, and there's a fire in the adjacent Kira, maybe Beit Shammai is Machmer over here because of the additional heat that's being created by the fire that's still going on in the other burners. So it's not clear how exactly this would fit in to our Mishnah, which is not talking about a kira that's matima. It's talking about a kira where if you turned off the fire, it gets cold. Mashenkein, the case we're talking about over here is a kira that is still being warmed by the fire in the next kira that shares a common wall with it. So we can't jump to conclusions from this. So according to Beit Shammai, you can't leave anything. According to Beit Hillel, you can leave hot water, but you cannot leave a cholent. Now, this is all about shehiya. If you were oker, if you took it off of the fire, forget it. Nobody holds you're allowed to put it back onto the fire. So then, divrei hakol lo yachzir. Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is the way that Rabbi Meir understands the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which is totally different from our Mishnah, unless we're ready to say that everything is changed because of the matimot. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, actually, Beit Shammai holds that you're allowed to leave chamim avolo tafshil. Ah, now at least we're getting back into familiar territory. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Shammai says you would be allowed to leave hot water on the fire, but you cannot leave a cholent on the fire. Beis Hillel says either a cholent or hot water. So far, so good. Beit Shammai omrim notlin velo machzirin. You can take something off of the kira on Shabbos and not put it back. And Beit Hillel says even machzirin. Now, this is beautiful because it really matches up point for point with our Mishnah. Now, let's see the implications of what that would mean for our understanding of the Mishnah, legabe the question of whether the Mishnah is like Hananya or not like Hananya, because it seems to have some very important implications. So look, if you're going to tell me that the opening part of the Mishnah was talking about you're not allowed to even leave your food on the kira unless you turn off the fire, so then the Mishnah would fit exactly the words of Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because then everything else simply follows. Rabbi Yehuda's way of understanding the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is word for word what it says in the Mishnah. And then the first part would match up with the first part of this Braita. And then the Mishnah and the Braita would be consistent, at least with one Shita, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. And it would mean not like Hananya. But if you're going to tell me, no, let's try to make the Mishnah work out Aliba de Hananya, which would mean that the opening of the Mishnah was referring not to Shehiya, which is mutter even if you don't turn out the fire, like Hananya, but rather it was referring to Chazorah, okay? Now that would mean that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Meir. It doesn't go neither lo Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Meir, because look, if it's supposed to be like Rabbi Meir, I mean, it's totally off the wall, because then Beit Shammai doesn't match up in one issue. Beit Hillel doesn't match up on either issue, because if we're talking about over here, Chazorah, and it's trying to go Aliba de Hananya, who would be Matir Shehiya without grief of Iktima, so then what you're going to have to say is that Chazorah, that does need grief of Iktima. Shehiya is Mutter, even if you did no grief of Iktima. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were arguing whether Shehiya was mutter even for Tafshil or only for Chami. And Beit Shammai would be saying you can't do Chazorah at all. That would be the way that we would be reading the Mishnah, but that's completely the opposite of Rabbi Meir. Because according to the Mishnah, Beit Shammai is saying you can leave even Shehiya, you can leave Chami. And according to Rabbi Meir, you can't do Shehiya at all, even if it was Goruf HaKotum. And according to us, you can even leave hot water, according to Beit Shammai, even if it has a fire on it, if you're trying to make it work out. Aliba de Hananya. So that's totally crazy. So that's the opposite of what Rabbi Meir says, right? Because Rabbi Meir asers even with Griva Ketima. The Mishnah is being matur even without Griva Ketima. You can't get further apart than that. Okay, Beit Hillel doesn't work out, not legabe Shia and not legabe Chazara, because the Mishnah says that Aliba Beis Hillel, it's mutter to do Shia without grief of Iketima, if we're trying to make it work out, Aliba de Hananya. But Rabbi Meir says, now hold on a moment, only for hot water, and only if it was Goruf HaKotum, and the Mishnah the way we have it, would say that Beis Hillel is Mater Chazora, was according to Rabbi Meir Asser's Chazora. So every possible thing about Beis Hillel is the opposite. So certainly not Rabbi Meir. So let's forget about Rabbi Meir. Maybe we can make the Mishnah work out of Libet Hananya the way that Rabbi Yehuda understands the Machlokas? No, because E Rabbi Yehuda would be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, then it would be a stira to whether you require grief of the Ketima. Because after all, Rabbi Yehuda, if we're saying is going Aliba de Chananya, so then we're talking only about whether Shehiya is mutter for Chamin or even for Cholin. But Sheinken Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, it was talking about the Shehiya only over a groove of the Ketuma. But nobody holds that it's mutter to leave something that was not Korah for Ketum because that was the whole opening statement of the Braita. So who are you going like? There doesn't seem to be any possibility to make this Braita, which are the only known Tanoim that we have, to explain the Machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, both of whom only make it work if we're going not like Chananya, and we're talking about even Shehiya, requiring grief of Iketima. If you try to make it work out in our Mishnah, you're going to have to give up on both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, even though it's very tempting to have our Mishnah go like Rabbi Yehuda, it would be intellectually dishonest. Rabbi Yehuda said beferish that we're talking about the opening of the Braita. We're talking about a case of Shehiya that is mutter only with grief of Iketima and not like Chananya. So who's it going like? Says the Gemara, look, what was tempting remains tempting. I mean, there's a perfect matchup between the words of Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel and the Mishnah's understanding of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, right? I mean, the only thing that doesn't match up is really a different issue. I mean, if you think about it, we can move the entire thing down by an entire octave. In other words, we're assuming that there is a fundamental relationship between the situation in the Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on a non-goruf v'kotum shehiya aliba dechananya, and that is necessarily going to be different than what the halacha is gabi chazora. But maybe that's not true. Maybe the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is, look, forget about what the instrument is, okay? Because that's a big Machlokas between Chananya and the Chachamim. We're talking about, in whatever case you believe it's mutter, if you believe it's mutter, like Chananya believes, it's mutter to do Shehiya on a Eina Grufa Ve'Eina Ketuma. We argue in exactly the same way that we argue about what the din would be about being Mahzir if you don't hold of Chananya, what the din would be about a Grufa Ve'Ketuma of Shehiya. That's all. So all you need to do is move it up and down according to whether you hold of Chananya or not. But the Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel remain exactly the same. Therefore, I can tell you like this. The Mishnah is talking about Chazora. Yes. And the din of Grifa Viketima is not required in our Mishnah for Shehiya. Now, you'll say, but nobody says that. That's true. Nobody says that in this Braita. However, our Tana is following Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel to the T. Tana didan savalak Rabbi Yehuda bechoda, namely, what's the Machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? He's arguing with him on an unrelated issue, and that is, what is the instrument that Machlokas referred to? Did the Machlokas refer to a goruf v'kotum, a Shehiya, which would be true Aliba the Chachamim, or did we refer to even an Enagora for Kotub Shehiya, which would be true according to Chananya? That's all. And therefore, the issue of our Mishnah cannot be settled just because of the fact that you find a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in what the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is, and both of them talk about a case of a Goruf v'Kotum Shehiya. Because it may well be that the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel revolves around whatever Kli is mutter. We hold the Kli is mutter. Maybe, based on the Mishnah before on your tests about the pot that was Nikrum Upaneha, we hold like Hananya, in which case this Mishnah is being matir by implication, Shehiya, over an Enogorah Fakotum. And therefore, what we have over here is a machlokas bechame betilal aliyah de Rabbi Yehuda, but we argue server lak Rabbi Yehuda bechada about the issue of chamin or tafshil, or whether we're matir machzirin, matches perfectly. There's one small issue that was different. Our Tana holds you don't need grifa v'ketima for shiya. Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold like the Chachamim against Hananya, that goro v'katum in and ilo lo. And that would be, it basically works out the Mishnah afilu aliba Hananya. Rabbanea, did you want to interrupt with that raised hand?
Yeah, just a little clarification. I was finding it hard to follow with Rebbe, and I figured it out. Yesterday, when we were discussing instrument, it was which type of baking. Was it kupach, tanur, or kiraim? Here, what Rebbe meant was the state of the instrument,
correct,
regardless of what.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. I thought that would be evident, but yes, that is what I meant. It was what state is the instrument in? I'm sorry if it was confusing. I didn't want to start introducing a new term. I understood that this could cause some confusion, but I figured it would be easy to get over it. Okay, so basically now, this is the end of our attempt to find these proofs here directly from the from any kind of brisa. So that means we do not know. The Gemara has left us in a bind. The Gemara has not decided whether we're going aliba de Hananya or we're going aliba de Chachamim. Every time we looked, you could lower your hand. Every time we looked, we were able to figure out some alternative. So the question is, what is left? Okay, so we end up with a big machlokas here, that since we attempt to get every time Hananya back into the picture, and we're trying to make it consistent with the Mishnah earlier, because of that, Rashi, Tosfos, and many of the Rishonim hold that the implications of the Gemara is that the Gemara favors Hananya and that it's mutter to do Shehiya without Grifa v'Ketima. The problem is that the Rambam, the Rif, and some other Rishonim hold that actually from this Mishnah, the Mashma'ut is that we're going Aliba v'Chachomi. Now this ends up being a Machlokes Halacha L'Maisa because even though the Beis Yosef seems to be going like the Rambam, the Ramah says that the minhag in Ashkenaz essentially is to be mekel. Okay. This makes a big problem for some of the Sfardim. And so what they would do in these cases of Shehiyah, if they're God paskening, not like Hananya, is they will put in a piece of raw meat, which we said was mutter, even according to Chachamim. If you put a piece of raw meat into something that is going to be cooking overnight, you put it into the cholent, that is a clear demonstration that you're not interested in its being ready in time. Therefore, there's no chashash, like we saw before, of Shema Yachta B'Gechalim, in which case you get around the problem. So that's what's done. What we do, Lamaisa, even for Shehiya, is we use either a plata, or they used to use what was called a blech. Many of you maybe haven't seen a blech, but a blech was when you use the gas fire. So you had a piece of metal that would come cover the fire, would come down over the front and cover the knobs of the stove, which would be considered to be the equivalent of grifa v'ketima. And that way there would be no problem. Not, according to the Beis Yosef, for Shehiya, which would be not aliba de Hananya, and not for Chazorah, even if you would hold of Hananya. And that way it was handled both according to the Sfaradim and according to the Ashkenazim, and everything was hunky-dory. Most people are not aware of the fact that the minig is lahakel, as far as Ashkenazim are concerned, that the minig is lahakel, and therefore they are not familiar with leaving things actually cooking on an open fire before Shabbos, which is mutter, according to the Ashkenazim. And the only thing that would be also would be putting it back on, but you would certainly be able to be no-till it from the fire. So they think you can only leave things cooking if you put it on a plata, which is not true, according to the Ashkenazim. Okay, in any event, this is some of the complications of the sugya. We saw that there was a lot more that was left unclear. Those things included the question of when exactly Chazorah is usher, Shabbos, before Shabbos, and how far before Shabbos. and also left unclear what the din is in terms of fully cooked. Did it mean kemaicho ben drusoi, the way that Hananya learned, or did it mean literally fully cooked? And in that, we already saw before we raised the question when we were talking about the issue of opening up a tanur and killing the meat. Remember when we're dealing with the Korban Pesach or the Gedi and so on. We left unclear over there another concept, which was things that do better when they're cooked longer and things that do worse when they're cooked longer. Now, that introduces a new term, which we're going to be getting into now. And that is the question of mitstamek viralo or mitstamek viafelo. Please remember those two terms and write them down even during Chol HaMoed so that it's part of your limud, which is mutter. Mitstamek means it gets more and more cooked, and therefore smaller and smaller, really, because you could start off with a nice big piece of meat. If you leave it on the stove for a long time, it just keeps shrinking and shrinking. So it's mitstamek, but it tastes better and better. So obviously you'll have a bigger chalent, in a sense, if you don't cook it more overnight, but it will taste nowhere near as good. When you leave it overnight, it gets really thick and fatty and so on. It's smaller. Each piece is smaller, but it's good for it. So it's mitstamek viafelo. Now, the word mitstamek is used more loosely, even though that's the technical sense of it, because it also means mitstamek in terms of evaporates. So if you leave, let's say, chamim, you just leave a hot water on the stove. Over there, it's called mitstamek viralo because evaporation is clearly not beneficial for you. And then you just keep the water boiling. The more boiling it is, the less water you're going to have. So why in the world would you want it to boil away? So that's also another sense of mitstamek. Anyway, what we've been talking about so far is as just a raya. We brought up the issue of on top of the kira or inside of the kira tangentially, right? But once we already have that tangent, what about the question of on the side of the kira? What would be the standing of putting something up against the hot wall of the kira, which, as Tosis points out, is not the same as putting it next to an open flame, which may definitely be usur, but would you be allowed to put it next to the side of the kira? So mahu lismochba, could you put it next to the side? Is it only, the discussion over here is only tocha, Gaba, that's usur, but maybe lismoch ba shaper dami, al dilma loshna. Maybe there's not really any difference between them. Now, it's not clear what we're talking about over here, because the question is, what are we going to? In other words, according to Hananya, so there we know once it's kemacho ben drusoi, you could put it even on top, right? And even if the fire is still on. So then obviously you can leave it on the side. So we could understand the question over here is even Aliba de Hananya if it wasn't yet cooked kemacho ben drusoi. Where over there, even Hananya asers putting it on top of Akira, certainly inside of Akira, which was lo grufa velo ketuma. And the question might be then, Aliba de Hananya, can you put it on the side of the kira? That would be one way of learning. It would also be nogea, even in Hananya, whether you could be machzir. Could you put it back without grifa v'ketima if you were just putting it next to the side to keep it warm? Or would he aser chazora as if it were on top with an open fire still burning? That would be one way of understanding what this abaya is. Obviously, according to those who argue with Hananya, then the question is bichlal. Even if it was kemacho ben drusoi, and they hold you're not allowed to be shoyeh, if it wasn't gruva v'ketuma, so according to them, the question would obviously be, could you be shoyeh if it was only on the side? So tashma, let's get back to our case of the shtei kirot hamatimot, where you do have warmth coming from the side, from the sister kira, right? So you've got two sister kiras over here, the common wall between them. One of them was grufa v'ketuma, one of them was not grufa v'ketuma. So then we said, mashina gabi grufa v'ketuma, ava gavta kasolik le'avla mi'idach. It says you are allowed to leave it on top of the grufa v'ketuma. Now, the question is that there is definitely heat coming in from the other one, which is coming in from the side. And we are saying that if it's coming in from the side, it's okay. So you see from here that it is mutter to put something on the side of a kira, even though you couldn't have put it on top of that kira. QED, says the Gemara, not necessarily, because there's clearly a difference. Dilma shiny out. I'm giving the medallia shalit ba'avira. We are talking about putting it on the side, not putting it on the side and on top. The case of the shtei kirot ha-matimot is you're putting it on the side, but it's on top. If it's on top, you've got a lot of airflow around it, which may be preventing the heat from the side from really warming it to that extent. Mash ein kein, if it was right up against the side of the kira, maybe it would be usher. So this is not QED. Toshma. Okay. How about from here? The Amr of Safra, Amr of Bichia. If you went ahead and you were kotem akira, and it suddenly flared up again, so it was nitlapta. That's an interesting issue. Because on the one hand, part of the activity of grief of a ketima is a psychological activity. In other words, the grief of a ketima indicates, I'm finished with this, and I do not intend to be using it anymore for cooking purposes. In which case, it may well be that even if there's currently a fire in it, that doesn't put it back to the way it was, because I have successfully cut out my connection to this thing, and it wasn't only a function of the amount of heat that's in there, the possibility of using it for cooking. Or, on the other hand, I may be now tempted to look at this thing, oh, wow, I suddenly have myself a place to cook, and I would love for my cholent to get stoked up and hotter on Shabbos, that maybe once again I would have my chashash of all of the things that led to the Yisurim in the first place. So Rav Safra, quoting Rav Chiya, says that in the event that it did catch on fire again, then somchim la umekaimim aleha, you can put something against the side, and if something was there from before, you can keep it on top, and you can take food off of it, and you can put food on it. Now, what that means is that he doesn't care about the fact that it currently has a fire in it. All he cares about is the psychology, so it would appear, right? And yet, it says over here, somchimla. Why do you think he needed to mention somchimna? Because he's saying it's only because you had done before the grief of the ketima, therefore somchimla. But if you hadn't done the grief of the ketima, you wouldn't be allowed even to be somchimla. And that would be the purpose of his stating those words, because otherwise it's quite clear that if he says you're even allowed to be machzirin la on top, obviously it could be somchim la. So what's the point of saying it? Only to teach me. But otherwise, if it hadn't been gorefakata before, you would not have been allowed to be somchim la. Aha. So shema mina lismoch, even lismoch, dafka ketima, yes, kotma in, lo kotma lo. Says Gemara, now wait a minute, that doesn't necessarily follow. Because, I mean, we've got another ridiculous word in what he taught. Rav Chiya says, notli mimen, you're allowed to take things off. Well, obviously you're allowed to take things off. Nobody ever asked for taking things off. So what would be the purpose of saying taking things off? So notli mimen diktani, okay? What, you're going to make the same diuk? You're only allowed to take things off if you had done grief of ikatima. That's ridiculous. It can't possibly mean that. Nobody holds that. Ella, the only reason it mentions you could take it off is because it wants to say, and you could put it back on, right? So you take it off, you put it back on. So the same thing is true over here. It says you could put it next to it in the same way that it's saying you could put it next to it and you can leave it even on top. Ah, come on. That's crazy. Obviously, if you're going to talk about putting it back on, you have to first talk about taking it off, don't you? I mean, so you're saying you take it off, you put it back on. What does that have to do with throwing in a word about somchin, which has nothing to do with the other thing? So if you're talking about notun machzirin, which is in the same place, of course we're going to mention it. So tana notlim mishum machzirin. But I mean, what does one have to do with the other? Somchin is bechad makom, and makaimim is bechad makom. Why would we bother mentioning somchin? I think it's a very good raya. So is it or not? My hat me Allah? No, it's not good. Because look, Tashma, I'll bring you a clear raya from a bright, okay? Kira shisikua begefet uveitzi. So you heated up this kira, and it says you're allowed to be somchin la, but you cannot mimakaimim unless it was grufa v'ketima. If you had gechalim she'amamu, so these, they died down on their own, or even if you covered them with something like an orach pishtan daka, that is ketuma. And that is areiki ketuma. So it's saying, beferish, you're allowed to put on the side, even if it was not garfakotim, even in places where you could not put it on top. That settles it. Okay. Again, as Tosis points out, that doesn't mean that it settles it. You're allowed to put things next to an open fire, but you are allowed to put it next to the kira. Omrev Jistupar Nechmeni, Omrev Yoshaya. The question of kitama vuhuvara. So it got by itself. It just flared up again. Mashina lea chamin shuchmu kol tzorchan, v'tavshil shibishel kol tzorchan. You're allowed to leave on it things that were completely cooked, and even if it's a cholent, if it was completely cooked. That means that he's going against Hananya, and he's saying that if it wasn't garfakatum, you're not allowed to leave it. If it was garfakatum, you should only leave on things that are completely and totally cooked up. So he's against Hananya in every way, right? He's talking about the level of cooking and so on. But the mashma'ut is, shmamina, it seems to say that mitstamek v'yofalo is mutter. Because if he's talking about things that are mitstamek v'ralo, like chamim, then he should have just said chamim, you know. But since he sends a cholent, the whole point seems to be, why mention the cholent? Because cholent, it could be fully cooked, but still it gets better and better tasting as it's mitstamek v'yofalo. And he's saying that that's okay. Apparently, Rav Hoshaya holds that mitstamek v'yofalo is mutter even on a kira that was not goruv v'katum. No. This case is different. This case is, remember, that it had flared up on its own. But the psychological element of your detaching yourself from working on this stove, you did. You put it out. You scattered the Norish Pishtan on it. So shiny Achate Ketama. So there, maybe that's where he's matter mitstamik v'yafalei, even though it's no longer Goruv v'katum, because initially it was Goruv v'katum. Well, I mean, so if that's the case, isn't it obvious? Maila Memra. I mean, he already said that, I mean, if it's completely cooked and he's already been Goruv v'katum, so why would there be a problem? What do you mean? Of course it's a problem. We needed to determine whether something that flares up again is given the din of a non-Goruv v'katum, right? So we had to discuss the issue of huvara. So you need to know that huvara, it's strichale. Because, look, I might have thought that huvara is completely restoring it to the way it was initially. And we would treat it entirely like something that was not goruv v'katum, in which case it would be usur to leave anything on that kira. And therefore, he needs to tell me, even though lamaisa, in certain ways, I did treat it as if it was usur, but if it comes to this question, if it's mitstamek v'ralo, and you also went ahead and you psychologically disconnected from it, for that, I consider it to be not kamilta kamaita. So ma'adat emek even duvara hadrola kamilta kamaita, kamash malan, that in the gabi this halacha, mitstamek, maybe, I mean, I don't know, but it's very possible that he's not matir all the time mitstamek v'yafalo. He's only matir mitstamek v'yafalo where you went ahead and original had gone ahead and did grief of ikatima. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, kitama v'huvara. Mashina lechaim in shuchmu kol tzorchan v'tavshu shabishu kol tzorchan afilu gecholim shel rota. Now, over here, we're saying, Gecholim Shel Rotam, you may remember the Agadita, which is a very good reason not to interrupt your learning with Dvorim Batalim. Because remember that people who are Mevatel, they're learning for Dvorim Batalim, are fed in Gehenim, Gecholim Shel Rotamim. Rotam, usually translated as broomwood, which apparently has a very, very high energy content. And because of that, even when you put it out, it actually contains an awful lot of slowly oxidizing material hidden inside and has a tendency to burst out into flames. And so even if you had that kind of wood, and you would think, well, I mean, if you're using Gecholim Shorotem, it's not a very good ketima. No, even if it was a Gecholim Shorotem, you would be then allowed to leave something that was mitztamik v'yafalo. Now, that seems to be saying exactly what Rabbi Shaya said, and it seems to be saying that mitztamik v'yafalo is mutar. Yoshmamina mitztamik v'yafalo mutar, right? No, not necessarily. Maybe also Rabbi Yochanan was only talking about the fact that you had done ketima before, but maybe if the psychological element was missing and you hadn't done ketima before, perhaps, just like we said with Rabbi Shaya, perhaps the Adin would be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, exactly the same. Rabbi Shaya says it's only, maybe, it's only because you're psychologically disconnected. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan holds the same thing. So then I understand. So then what's he adding? Yochi mai lememra. Ah. He's adding Huvara, something that we said about Rav Hoshaya. But then what's he adding to Rav Hoshaya? So then, but Rav Hoshaya didn't talk about Gecholim Shorotem. Rav Yochanan wanted to add even the Gecholim Shorotem. Fine. So then that would mean that even if it was cooked all the way and you had not done the grief of Iketima, if it would be mitstamek v'yafalo, we're suggesting that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be aser. And he's only being mater because of the case here where you had been kaitem and it was huvara on its own. But if not for that, apparently Rabbi Yochanan would have held that mitstamek v'yafalo is aser to be masha, which means that he's going against Chananya. Because according to Chananya, it can be masha if it's kemaicho ben rasoi. Kol shekein, if it's completely cooked, just because it's mitztamek v'yafalo. Okay, because remember, we have three levels here, or four levels, pre the shear of one-third, which is it's not even kemaicho ben drusai, then kemaicho ben drusai, which aliba de chananya is considered to be fully cooked, then fully cooked, which is mitztamek v'ralo, and then we have which is mitztamek v'yafalo, and then the worst would be fully cooked, which is even mitztamek v'ralo. So we have four dargas. So what it seems to be saying over here is that even if it's completely cooked, you cannot leave it if it's mitztamek v'yafalo, which is against Chananya, because this is the next darga up, which Chananya would varai be matar. He's matar even k'maycho ben drusai. Omer of Sheshes, Omer of Yochanan. There is apparently a different way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan, the way Rabbi Sheshes quotes it, that kira shi sikua begefeth uve etzim, mashina lavan, obviously you did not do grifa or ketima, you're allowed to leave on it hot water, even though the hot water was not completely heated, because as we saw earlier, chamin are easy to gather heat gradually, and they finally boil up anyway. You don't worry about it. But you can even leave things on it that were not mevushal called sarchan. Obviously, if they were mevushal, kemaicho ben drusai. But if you took it off of the kira, you can't put it back on unless there was grifa or ketima. So now in this version, we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan that is going aliba chananya, because this must mean that Rabbi Yochanan is learning our Mishnah, that when the Mishnah says you need grifa v'ketima, was only talking about chazara, because he says to put it back on, you need to do grifa v'ketima. But to leave it on, it doesn't even have to be cooked more than Michael ben Rusoi. Now that sure as heck sounds to me like he's going like Chananya, that we showed Mashinafo Pisha Eno Gorov the Eno Katum. Omar Rava, I understand over here what Rav Sheshes, what's Rav Sheshes quoting Rabbi Yochanan for? If, now here at last, the Gemara never told us this until this moment, at last we find out why it is that we're so stuck on making the Mishnah work out like Chananya. And Rava is saying that this is so clear, because if you look at the Mishnah earlier, then Rav Sheshes is wasting his breath. Anybody who reads the Masechet as a whole knows that the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, was like Chananya. And both of these statements of Rav Sheshes are beferish in the Mishnah, okay? Lishos Tanina, that you're allowed to leave it on without doing grief of Vekatima, once it's on the Darga Machob and Drusoy Zepher Shemishna. And that was the Mishnah we had earlier. Ein notnina tapat pitocha tanurim chashecha. If it's close to Shabbos, you cannot put bread inside of a tanur. You cannot put a charara, which is coal, on the coal-baked kind of cracker, unless there's time for Yikru Mupanea. Mashma, but if there was time, now Yikru Mupanea is not fully cooked, gentlemen. It's not fully baked. It is the equivalent of Michael Ben Drusoy on a baked good. It's enough if it's Nikru Mupanea. And it says over here, Hakar Mupanea Shori. And once it's got to stack this little crust on it, it's browned, that's already enough. It's exactly what Chananya said, okay? And you can then leave it there, even though it's directly on the coals. So we know that the Mishnah Paskin like Chananya. Now, as far as the other thing that Reb Shesh has mentioned, which is that if you want to put back onto the Kira, you'd have to do a Grifa Vikatima, that's our Mishnah. Beit Hillel Omrim, Af Machzirin, on what? Adkan lo kashor beit hillel ela begrufa v'ketuma. The whole Mishnah was talking about grufa v'ketuma, and it says over here that b'she'ena begrufa v'ketuma lo, and you would not be allowed to be machzir. That's the whole opening of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says beferish what Reb Shesha said. You can't put food on top of a kira if it was taken off unless it was goruf v'ketuma. So what do I need Reb Shesha for? Well, Rav Sheshes is coming to tell me the diak of the Mishnah. Now, Rashi understands that means the diak of the Mishnah earlier on Daf Yotes about the pot and the charara, namely that Kor Mupanea is the equivalent of Maichu Ben Drusoy and equals Chananya. Tosfos says that's obvious, that's not a diuka. But what Rav Sheshes was coming to tell me was that the correct way to read our Mishnah was that it's referring to Chazora, and it's going Aliba de Chananya. Now, you must admit, and this is the diuk that the Rishonim make, you must admit that if Rava was saying, I don't understand what Rav Sheshes is even coming to teach us, that it was so obvious to him that, of course, we're going to try to make everything work out Aliba de Chananya. And of course, the way we're going to understand this Mishnah is Chazora. What stronger statement do you have than Rava's psak that nobody even needs to say this? It's so obvious. Therefore, the conclusion is that the halacha is indeed like Chananya, and that you're mashin even if it's ena grufa ve'ena ketuma, and that you can also be machzir, and if it is grufa ve'ketuma, and that the shir, which is mutter for you, is kamaycho ben drusoy, or by pas nikru mupanel, and akol shorir ve'kayam, man. I mean, it seems to be as clear as day. How could Rava possibly say it's a waste of time to teach us this halacha, because only an idiot would think otherwise? So this is the reason that the Rishonim almost entirely paskin indeed like this, and that our Mishnah is Chananya, the Mishnah before is Chananya, and so on. Okay, I don't want to keep you too long. Okay, so we had a lot of extra information today, and a lot of detail about how to tease apart the different statements. So we introduced the new concepts of mitstamek v'yafalo, mitstamek v'ralo, introduced the idea that there is an equivalent in baking to Michael Ben Drusoy, namely Nikru Mupanea, pointed out that we essentially have four different dargas of what is considered to be cooked that need to be taken into consideration, and that, of course, according to Chananya, we're being very makel to view Michael Ben Drusoy as the shear of cooking, but that's Lagabi Shehiyah. It's not clear what about Lagabi Chazora. And furthermore, we have the Machloket about, which we've just begun to discuss, about the difference between Mitztamik Viralo and Mitztamik V'yofelo, according to the various shitas, which we're going to be looking into more by just going over some basic yesodas. And the reason is that the Perek Kira is one of the most difficult in all of Shas and is recognized as one of the most chomur sugyas. The reason that it's so chomur is not because there's anything particularly difficult about it, but there are many, many different factors that interrelate in a multiple, unbelievably multiple ways, in which every element has to be factored in. And that's what makes it very confusing. So if one is learning a perek like that on a level of a daf yomi, and you have to get through the perek as rapidly as we do, I believe that there's only one way to do so. And that is not to attempt. We did this when we got to the complicated sugyas in Yevamos and in other places. Instead of trying to work out the multiple interrelationships every single time that we talk about something, that would be like in Yevamos trying to remember exactly how this person became your third cousin 15 times removed, and it was your wife's brother-in-law's also uncle at the same time. That's very, very difficult to work out. So what we did was we simply did a process of iconization so that you get used to the idea the name of this erva is X, and that pops up in your mind with all of its picture of how it became that way, but you can't necessarily explain at that very moment what you mean when you say that. Now, I think that's true over here as well. The only way to properly get through this perek is slightly differently, and that is to know clearly all of the variables. Because once you keep in mind all of the variables, then the particular way in which you fit them all together is capable of being done at each point, taking into consideration every shita, even though as you run through it rapidly, as we're doing, you may not get clear. So how would the shita of Hananya fit there? Aliba de Rav, and over here would be Aliba de Shmuel. Here would be Aliba de Yochanan. What if it was the Rabbon and Aliba de, and so on and so forth, right? So that is impossible for a person to keep in his mind at all times, as the Rambam says. Even as the Gemara points out, even Rebbe himself, you could have ended up embarrassing him by asking him when he's being Isaac in another sugya. So therefore, what I wanted very much to do was to keep going over the basic yesodes and to understand how they interrelate. And therefore, afterwards, you could put them all together as the issue comes up. So once again, we are talking about different types of instruments for heating. We're talking about different types of fuels for heating. We're talking about different places on those instruments where you would be heating. We're talking about different modalities of those instruments. Are they gorificatum? Are they not gorificatum? We're talking about three different issues, which themselves actually boil down to more, as we'll see, because we have to add details. But essentially, the difference between hatmana, Shehiya and Chazora, which becomes further complicated by the question of, are we talking about during the daytime? Are we talking about after the Chalos of Shabbos? Are we talking about during the day of Shabbos versus the night of Shabbos? We'll see that all of those elements are themselves important. And it makes a nafka mina as to where on the particular type of kli. Then there's an interrelationship between the fuel and the kli, which we haven't even gotten to yet, but which hopefully we will get to today. Then that even makes it more complicated, because some kalim are in category A if they're used with fuel category A, but they're in category C if they're used with fuel category B. So again, we'll have to take a look at that as well. And then we have, of course, the various shitot, which was the main machlokas between Hananya and the Rabbanan, about whether Shehiya Bichlal is Muteras even on Ena Grufa Viketuma. And then we have the question of what constitutes the level of cooked, so that so far what we've seen in terms of level of cooking is something that's less than one-third, which is not considered even by Hananya to be cooked. Then we have Kamaycho Ben Drusoy, which is one-third, which in terms of Bishel, in baking terms, is talking about Nikrumu Paneha. And that, according to Hananya, is fully cooked. And then we have what's considered to be fully cooked, but nonetheless is mitstamek and it's yafelo, so that it could be cooked more and that would be good for it, like a cholent. And then we have fully cooked, which is mitstamek viralo, which is the most fully cooked, where we have the least issues. Then we have our various gezeres. So one gezera that we have is shema yachate. You may poke it. Other gezeras that we have is you may actually boil something up when it comes to atmana. It may be too close to Shabbos, or it's too cold. You won't be able to be matmin it. Another gezera that we spoke about, we're going to get through all of these once again as we go through the sugya, is something that is michzik mevasha. It looks as if you're cooking, even though you aren't really cooking. So then we make gezeiras that aser it. Then we have further complications. What if there's a nafka mina between lechatchila and bidiavad? What's the din if you did one of these things when you shouldn't have done it? Is the food aser or is the food mutter? If it is aser, how long is it aser for? That's yet another question that we have not as yet examined. So we've done some of the basic work. We never got into the detail work exactly about the differences between mitztamik v'ralo, mitztamik v'yoflo, if you hold according to the Chachomim, or if there are other shitas that are somewhere between Chananya and the Chachomim, which we'll have to examine further. So today we got up to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and the last thing that we learned was the fact that it sure as heck looks like the halacha is like Chananya, because Rava even attacked Rav Sheshes for bothering to mention it, since it appears so clear from the earlier Mishnah. The earlier Mishnah was the case of you're being allowed to put in bread into a tanur as long as it would be nikru mupaneah, and that was the equivalent of Michael ben Drusoy in baking, and that was clearly going like Chananya, and that explained at last why it would be so important for us to try to work out our perek to be also going like Chananya, which would require us to understand that the Mishnah is talking about Chazora, which would make sense according to Chananya. You can't be Magzer unless it was Gor V'Katum, and not referring to Shehiyah, even though it was a little bit kvetchy to fit the Mishnah into Chananya in that way. And because of that, Rashi over here, and as I mentioned to you, many of the Rishonim, to the exclusion of the Rif and the Rambam of the Iker Rishonim, that argue, say that it's on this page. Rashi over here actually speaks this out, that nowadays we do this, Anan Mashin and Gedera Gabikira, She'ena Grufa, because we're Semech on Chananya, because the Stam Mishnah back in the beginning in Yud Ches was like Chananya, and the Gemara attempted to make this Mishnah work out like a Chananya. And even though we didn't prove it, it seems very clear from this sugya that it's A-OK. So we mentioned also the question of the Halacha L'maisa, Ad Hayom. We have differences between the Sfarim, the Ashkenazim, the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the way that the Ramah paskins, and that in any event, we attempt to do our best to work things out, even according to the Chachomim, and therefore we use Grifa V'Ketima, which in modern terms we call a plata or a blech, in order to avoid getting into these issues in the first place. The Sfaradim have it a little bit more difficult because they paskin even totally like the Chachomim, like the Beis Yosef is mashma. Okay, so they have to be a little bit more careful. In any event, we got up to yesterday the words Diyuka de Masnisa Kamashmalam, which was in the middle of the daf, and now we're holding it Omer of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, was exactly where we got up to today. All right, so one of the interesting things that was added yesterday was that we came up with a new level of instrument, because instead of merely talking about a kira, a kupach, and a tanur, we talked about a kira that was doubled, and half of it was on and half of it was off. Now, that was something that was weird because it wasn't a standard kira that was put out, but it's also not put out. So that got us into a whole other issue. And in that case, which introduced, by the way, a completely new element as well, and there we started talking about grufa ketuma, but it flared up again when it was ketuma. Now, that was a new level of how we had dealt with the heat. We thought things were very simple. Either it still has the fuel in it or it doesn't have the fuel in it. If you put it out, you put it out. Yesterday, we raised a new issue. What if you put it out and it flared up again? So this is now an entirely new issue. That entirely new issue introduced a new concept. It's not fully new, but it's new in that context. And that's the psychological context. So remember, we had already introduced psychology when it came to the question of putting something that was completely uncooked into something that was there before Shabbos, according to the Chachamim, in which case, even they would be made that there was no problem there of Shema Yachate, because psychologically you've divorced yourself from any thought of doing anything with this food, because it's not going to be ready for the Seudah of Shabbos tonight. And by tomorrow morning, anyway, it's going to be ready. So therefore, there's no chashash. That was a psychological move, essentially. And it was enough. The additional psychological move over here was that you put out the fire by spreading sand and everything over it. So now the question is the psychological move itself sufficient in this case to be the equivalent of having a grufa v'ketuma? Or is the reality of the flame what defines grufa v'ketuma? So what we have over here, yesterday, we spoke about the Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's approach to Rabbi Yochanan. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan was willing to be matir, the food which was mitstamek v'yofelo, even according to the Chachamim, but only in the case where he had psychologically been menatek himself from it by doing the grief of the ketima. So that was the first version that we had of Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to have a lot of different versions of Rabbi Yochanan. So the version of Rabbi Yochanan that we had up until now was Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, according to which Rabbi Yochanan goes like the Chachomim who asers shehiyah on an ena grufa ve'ena ketuma, but Rabbi Yochanan was matir in a case where it had flared back up again, even if it was a mitstamek v'yofelo, but only in that interesting new case. Now today, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says Rabbi Yochanan differently. Yesterday we already had another sheet in Rabbi Yochanan, which was Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes held in Rabbi Yochanan that he paskin entirely like Hananya, in which case it would be rather silly to start discussing whether it's going to be mitstamek v'yofelo or not, because according to Hananya, even if it's not even fully cooked and it's only cooked kamachol ben drusai, it would still be mutter. But again, remember, there may be combinations in which you hold like the Chachamim in one issue, but you hold that you don't need as much cooking to be considered to be fully cooked, which is basically the issue of the mitstamek v'yofelo that we're dealing with right now. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, again, held at Rabbi Yochanan once, going like the Chachamim, but was matir in a case of psychological nituk, was matir mitstamek v'yofelo. Rav Sheshes went to the other extreme and held that Rabbi Yochanan was matir, even kemaichol ben drusoi, like the Shita of Hananya. Today, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you have a kira shesikua begefet uv etzim, mashin alea tafshil shebishel kol tzorcho, v'chamin shuchmu kol tzorcho, afilo mitstamek v'yafelo. Now here, what he is saying is something in between the two shitas we had up until now. He's saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we do go according to the Chachomim. And therefore, if it's not grufa v'ketuma and the food is not cooked fully, it's going to be usur to leave it there. But if it was fully cooked, he's allowing us to consider something which is mitstamek v'yofelo to be called fully cooked, even though it's going to get better by leaving on it. So in other words, he holds like the Chachomim, but he's being mekel in what we define fully cooked. So now this is different than Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, and it's different than Rav Sheshes. It's a third shita in Rabbi Yochanan. That's matim etzamek v'yofelo. Omele umarabonon Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. How could you say such a thing? Don't we know that Rav and Shmuel both agreed that if it's mitstamek v'yofelo, you cannot leave it on a kira that's in a grufa v'in a ketuma? So in other words, they paskin, Rav and Shmuel both paskin like the Chachomim against Hananya, and they were machmir to view a mitstamek v'yofelo as osur. So how could you say this? Omar Lai said, Rishul Bar Yehuda to him, what do you think, I'm an idiot? But you don't think I know? You want me to tell you over where it comes from and who said it? I'll tell you who said it. Rabbi Yosef said it. The name of Rabbi Yehuda was quoting Shmuel. Okay, now you're satisfied that I knew it. Thank you. So I understood that he said, mitstamek v'yofelo osur. So what's your problem? I was talking according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why are you asking me from Rav and Shmuel? I'm telling you that Rabbi Yochanan held that mitstamek v'yofelo is actually mutter. And therefore, the question is really machlokes haposkim, and in their times, in other words. And therefore, said Rav Ukiva Mimeshan to Rav Ashi, look, in terms of the halacha lemaisa, you guys live in Bavel, around where Rav and Shmuel were the Rosh Yeshiva. They paskin that you have to be machber on a mitstamik v'yofalai, according to the Chachomim, and so on. So fine, you should do like Rav and Shmuel, okay? But we, who don't live in the area of Rav and Shmuel, will be semech on Reb Yochanan, that actually a mitstamik v'yofalai is mutter. Now, of course, according to us who paskin like, that is the us, when I say us, I'm saying Rashi and Tosfos, who say Anan, or the Ashkenazim, none of this would be nogea, because if the halacha is like Hananya, then of course even mitstamik, even Kemaychol ben Drusoy is already considered to be fully cooked. Omelei Abayel Rav Yosef, what is the din about Shehiyah? Can I leave things now? We don't know what he said. What do you mean? What is the din about Shehiyah? Thank you. We just spent like hours and hours discussing that. What are you coming like some kind of newcomer who never heard of the issue, and you're asking, what's the din about Shehiyah? So it's not clear what the question is. Tosfos says that Abaya could be referring to the general question, is the halacha like Hananya, or is like the halacha like the Chachamim? And we're talking about where it's not cooked fully. So in other words, it's like Michael ben Drusoy. Maybe he's talking about what the halacha would be according to the Chachamim, but it's mitstamik v'yafalo. So do we paskin l'chumra about mitstamik v'yafalo, or do we paskin l'kula? Okay, this is not clear. So Rav Yehuda, he said to him, Rav Yosef said, well, listen, Rav Yehuda, he used to eat food that they left on the kira, and he said it was okay. So it's obviously mutter. Oh, Malay, what do you bring me a rye from Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda was a misukanhu. Rashi says to him, Sukkan used to suffer from bulmasin, and he needed to have immediately available food that he could eat that was very densely energetic, so they kept him the food hot. And over there, since he's a Masukan, you would have been allowed to even heat the food up for him on Shabbos, so why would they be machmer for him? Obviously, I'm asking about me and you. How about leave a lach? Omar Leis, Rav Yosef says, look, in Surah, they used to leave food on a kira that was not Gorofakotun, because Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak was a tremendous tzaddik. He was a Muridu of the Avi. He was very, very machmer, everything that he did. And they used to leave it for him, and he would eat it. Omar Rav Ashi, I was once by Rav Huna on Shabbos, and I saw that they left him Kasadar Sana. You remember the Kasadar Sana is that dish that they use for dipping in Bavel, which is this fish kind of a dish, right? It's like a hash, and it's mixed with the point that's important for us now is not the fact that it's mixed with milk and cheese products, but it's mixed with flour. And they left it for him on the kira, and it was not Gorovakato, and he ate it, and I don't know why. I don't know whether the reason that he ate it is because he holds mitstamik v'yafa is mutter, or the reason that he ate it is because he holds it's mitstamik v'ralo. Why would it be mitstamik v'ralo? Because of the ingredient of the flour. The flour that you keep eating gets hard and difficult to eat, like a cereal, an oatmeal that you left out too long, and that would wreck it. So maybe because of that, even though the fish part does get tastier the more it's cooked, but the flour may be held that that's considered to be mitstamik v'ralo. Omer Reb Nachman, well, I think that look is like this. Mitstamik v'yafalo is osur, mitstamik v'ralo is mutter, and the general rule to decide what's what is like this. Anything that has flour in it as a dish is definitely mitstamik v'ralo, because the flour, it hardens. And the only thing where I would say it's different is if you were cooking turnips. If you're cooking a turnip stew, so over there, even though you put in flour into the turnip stew, turnips are really, really difficult to eat if they aren't properly cooked. And that is considered to be mitstamik v'yofalo as long as it's got a little bit of meat in it. If it's got meat in it, so then I'm saying it's mitstamik v'yofalo. But if it doesn't have meat in it, then even turnips is mitstamik v'ralo. And by the way, when I say it has meat in it, I'm talking about small pieces of meat that are not meant to be served. You're not going to serve this stew in front of your guests. Because if you need to serve a stew in front of your guests, as we all know, the embarrassing situation, when you put in tons of meat into your cholent, and all you have is the cholent, you bring the cholent to the table, and it looks like there's no meat in it, because it's all been so mitstamech viofalo, that it looks like you're serving them some kind of hash instead of anything that had serious food in it. So because of that, if you need it for your guests, and then it's considered to be mitstamech viralo. Now, and in general, you should know that lapta, dice of etamre, is mitstamech vira. So things that are made out of cooked figs or any type of cereal, if you keep cooking it, it ruins it. And dates, that's all considered to be mitstamech viralo.